Welcome to the Slob Sisters podcast, the show that explores the realistic art of modern homemaking, all of its challenges, and all of its rewards. I'm Steph, a YouTuber and stay-at-home mom, former slob, and with me is my co-host and sister, Jill.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jill, a busy working mom of two, and I'm happy to be joining my sister, Steph, and all of you today. So thanks for joining us. It's episode 8, Who Am I? I'm really looking forward to today's discussion, but before we dive into it, let's first begin with our weekly progress report.
Yeah, so in case you're new to our podcast, every week we are sharing our progress report, which is just a small victory we accomplished this week. Okay, Jill, do you want to go first? What's on your progress report?
So for me this week, I washed my pillows.
Oh.
I know. And I've never done that before. Is that gross? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize most pillows can be washed, like especially if you have down or feather pillows, they can be washed.
Yeah. So I just have kind of like the stuffing in my pillows. And I just thought one day, I'm going to throw these in the wash. I mean, they did really give my washing machine a good workout. It moved like 2 feet from where it was when I put them in. But other than that, once I brought them out, I even threw them in the dryer. I doubt you'd be able to do that with down pillows.
Maybe? Yes, you can. Yeah. Oh. I throw mine right in the dryer. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I put mine in the dryer and they were so fluffy and so nice. And I was like, why have I not done this before? So that was my progress this week. I did one pillow to experiment with it. It worked out great. So that I did them all.
Oh, that's good. See, and I would have thought with stuffing, they would have turned out lumpy, which is why I have my down pillows. But
yeah, no, they turned out
there
great.
There you go. Nice.
What did you get done this week?
Okay. So I didn't necessarily get something done, but I do feel like I'm making progress. Spring is finally hitting. Here in the north, we still have snow, but it's a little bit warmer, and I am 1,000% a happier person, and I'm just getting outside more, and we're exploring our property. We've been going back into our forest, and there's even a little creek that we found, which wasn't there in the heat of last summer because we had that big heat dome, and you could tell there was a creek there at one point. But anyways, it's running now, and our son, who's 2 years old, has named it Honey Creek. Is that the cutest thing you've ever heard?
That is so sweet, yeah.
Yeah. So I just feel like I'm just lifted and feeling so much better. We've moved out to this acreage, and I do feel a little bit trapped sometimes, or at least I did this winter, and so being able to get outside a little bit more has been huge for me.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that you had so much snow that you weren't even able to go on a walk on your property. So it's good to hear that you're able to get outside now and explore, you know, the place where you live. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's been really good. Okay, so I'm glad we take time to recognize these small victories in our week. Let's get into our main topic, though. Who am I? Losing your identity after becoming a mom.
Yeah, I think today's topic is definitely something a lot of women will relate to, whether you're a new mom or a grandparent, aunt, or friend of a new mom.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really important discussion to have as women and mothers. And even though today's episode revolves around new moms' feelings and changes in their life, I think anyone who has any kind of connection to a new mom can probably find some use in this topic, as it's really important to recognize the challenges and struggles that new moms face when it comes to their identity.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though we don't have a lot of men following our podcast, like barely any, I think that it's also something men need to understand as well, especially new dads who may be wondering, where did my partner go?
Oh, I totally agree. I think this is like one of the mysteries of the universe for a lot of men and a lot of people, and even for moms themselves, they just are like, what's happening to me?
Absolutely. I don't think there's an event that changes your life more than having your first child. I mean, I lost friends. I moved to a different part of the city, to the suburbs. I couldn't do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. It was a huge adjustment.
Same. I mean, I remember being even just pregnant with my first child and feeling so much like I didn't know what to do with myself. I was exhausted, so I didn't want to go out and hang out with friends. I was pregnant, so I couldn't go play sports. I just felt so lost. And then once I had the baby, well, that's a whole different story. All right, so let's just dive right in. Having a baby is so much work, right? You have no idea what you're doing, and you have really no choice but to lose yourself in the work of keeping like this tiny little human alive, especially in the first weeks when your baby is brand new and you're just like, how does this work? What do they eat? When do they sleep? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, in those first few weeks, you feel like all you're doing is feeding your baby, rocking your baby, walking around with your baby, or just, you know, panicking and Googling what to do with your baby.
Yeah, that was me for sure. I was like searching the Google for every possible thing. And it's so funny looking back now that I've had three kids, because really by the third one, you're just like, oh yeah, I got this. I know what I'm doing. You barely check anything. You're like, it's eating, it's sleeping, we're good. But yeah, your first one is just like, it's mind-blowingly difficult. And I know people always Google and ask for advice and people offer up helpful advice. But when you have your first child, there's like no other way but to fumble your way through it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about the other thing that happens when you have your first baby. So much of your mental power is taken up by this new tiny little thing, and suddenly you don't really feel like you anymore. I think that a big thing that you touched on was like losing friends. And one reason I think that is because, you know, a lot of activities just don't work for you anymore. And if this is where your social time was, then that can be a huge, huge loss, right? I was into sports, and once I got pregnant, that whole circle of friends was temporarily gone. Like, not gone, we weren't not friends, but I don't think you realize how much your acquaintances and your people you kind of see on the regular are so much a part of your social circle.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, for me, I did some sports as well. And not only that, but I liked going out. I liked going for dinners, and I liked, you know, I liked going downtown and into the party scene a little bit. And that was, I mean, it came to an abrupt halt. And what I didn't realize is I had a lot of friends who I only had that in common with. And as soon as I got pregnant, let alone having the baby, I realized, oh, this is probably not going to continue much longer because my life's going to change and they're going to kind of continue on without me. And now I look back and I think, you know, it's probably for the best. Those weren't really quality friends that I had, and I've made some great friends since. But at the time, it was heartbreaking, you know, just such a change from what I had and it just getting ripped away from me. I felt a little bit resentful, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I like to, I don't know if you ever did this, but I would try to like push through and do things even though it was like not working. Like I played in this hockey tournament even though I was like 4 months pregnant. And I think I had to not even play the last couple games because I just felt like such garbage. I was so tired. And so I was just trying to like push it so I could be involved because I felt really left out, right? And yeah, that's I think where that resentfulness comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, not to mention that like when you're pregnant or with a new baby, if you stay up late, the next day is, I mean, it's a write-off. I would I think, go out the night before a day of work than the night before of, like, being home with my kids all day. It's so hard. It's such a long day when you're tired and, you know, it's such a shift and an adjustment in that aspect as well.
Right. So changing your identity and who am I mean, a huge part of it is, yeah, changing your activities you're doing every day. So when you change friends and you suddenly have to change activities, you know, that changes a huge part of your identity. One thing I've really noticed is I'm way more interested in hanging out with other people who have kids because it's just instantly we have more in common. I don't have to apologize for my kids being loud or messy or running around or anything like that. Not that I ever have to apologize, but you know when you hang out with people that don't have kids and they kind of are like, oh God, this is making me crazy. Except for there's always a select few that are super good with kids. But I mean, I remember I even felt like that, like these kids are crazy and now I have my own and like nothing phases me.
Yeah, absolutely. Going over to visit somebody with kids or who have had kids in the past is a lot less stressful than going over to like one of my friend's houses who doesn't have kids because yeah, it's just a different kind of way of living and you just constantly feel like you're, you know, trying not to touch anything and don't touch anything and stuff like that. But I mean, also when you go out with your friends who don't have kids, you kind of feel like you don't really have much to talk about. Do you ever feel that way? Like you've lost that kind of sense of what's going on in the world and the only thing you want to talk about is your baby.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially if you are going out with people who don't have kids and you're like the token mom. And so you have no stories except for kids' stories. And you're kind of like, they're talking and then you're like, oh, last week, little Timmy at the pool. And your friends are like, oh, groan. And they tolerate it, but they really don't. And it just feels like it sucks. Like, yeah, I've often felt like, oh, great, I have no life and nothing to contribute to this conversation. So when I hang out with other moms, like they're all about it. They're like, oh, that happened. We were doing this and we made this progress. And so it's definitely more like my tribe right now. Do you ever feel like you're in a conversation and you just have mom brain mush and you don't feel funny? I often feel really awkward when I go out now.
Yeah.
And like, because I think I'm just not practiced at talking to adults as well as I used to be. You know, the most in-depth conversations I have now are about whether like whales could live in a puddle in our yard. Really? So it's just so nice to be around people who kind of understand that, I feel.
Absolutely. And not only that, but being around people you can relate to at that time in your life is just, I think, really important, you know, going through struggles and knowing that, you know, I'm not alone. Someone else is kind of going through this as well. And I mean, I did such a better job when I had my second child than I did with my first. I was hanging on so tightly with my first baby to the life that I had and the friends that I had and everything like that. I didn't get mom friends. I didn't like immerse myself in like being a mom. And I was just, yeah, like I said, holding on to that life I had before. And with my second, I joined mom groups, I joined Rhyme Time, I joined, you know, I was all over it, and I made some amazing friends, and I think there's a little bit of judgment that comes with, like, you know, the mom groups and things like that, but really, it's a group of women all going through the same thing at the same time, and you have something in common, and it's really easy to make friends because of that, and I have some amazing girlfriends that I've made from those groups that I still hang out with, and yeah, we kind of move through life together in the same phase now, which is awesome.
Definitely. I mean, I was a little different from you. I got very lucky. It was kind of funny. Before I got pregnant, I had a friend tell me she was pregnant. I was like, oh, that's exciting. A couple months later, I was pregnant. A couple months later, another girl was pregnant. It was like this wave of people that I knew. All my friends that were working, girls that were all around the same age as me, all got pregnant at the same time. So these are people I already knew. I didn't even have to make new friends. Everybody was joining this tribe. And we started a little group where we got together every week. And we hung out, and we continued to do that until our first babies were about three. About the time they started preschool, a lot of them went back to work, but I still keep in touch with a few of them. And that was basically super easy for me because I didn't have to make new mom friends. My current friends kind of became moms. So I feel like I really lucked out in that department. On another flip side though, my second and third, nobody was really having their kids at the same time as me. So I guess with my third, I've kind of made another little group of friends that have babies around his age. But yeah, we didn't have that same kind of core group of people just like having babies all at the exact same time. It was like within 6 months, there was like 13 babies born or something of girls that we all knew in our same age group.
And do you think maybe because you're a few years older than me and we had kids around the same time, like now I have a lot of friends having kids, but I was a little bit younger, I think, than some of my other friends. So now I feel like, you know, people are kind of catching up and starting to do the kid thing. And I'm like, okay, well now I've got a 5 and a 3-year-old. And so we're still not quite on the same page, but yeah. I have some of my friends now starting to have kids and that's fun. But so getting back to kind of, you know, some of the things that might cause you to feel like you've lost your identity. And I think a lot of what it is you just don't have the energy to be who you are. And you know, you're just tired at the end of the day.
Yeah. If you want to talk about what it's like to be a mom, there is so much of the time when you are just surviving. And I know they say, make your motherhood so you're thriving, not just surviving. But oh man, you are so tired. I'm so tired sometimes that when other people say they're tired and they don't have kids, I actually scoff because there is no way you could possibly be as tired as me. And I'm sure it's true. I'm sure they're super tired. But this is next level tired. Anyone who has kids completely understands. Like, you don't know how tired you could possibly be and still be alive until you've had a baby.
Absolutely. And I always give credit to, and I know I've mentioned this on the podcast before, that I did struggle with insomnia for a couple of years, about 10 years ago, before even coming close to having kids. And so when I had kids, I had learned how to live off very little sleep, and I gave credit to that kind of bout of insomnia I had because I was like, no, I will be okay, you know, one day at a time and getting sleep in small bits and just doing what you can. But yeah, you're so tired, and I agree, and I don't like being the person who like rolls my eyes when someone without kids says they're tired, but I do. And I mean, I know there's one girl at work and she was coming in every day saying, oh, I'm so tired. And one day just said, you know what? I'm tired. You're not. And I felt so bad, but I just had it. I thought, you are not tired. I'm tired. And I've been coming to work every day, putting on a brave face, but I'm tired. You're not. So.
Oh, that's funny. Well, and like, speaking of losing yourself, like, is anyone their best selves or even like a semblance of their worst selves at any time when you're running off 4 and 5 hours of sleep for years?
Yeah, no.
Right? Like, if you can't be... if you're not rested and you're not focused on taking care of yourself, you're just never your best self to present to people. Like, I do find it very hard, not hard, I'm just like almost uninterested in talking to people or having conversations. Or even we went out the other night and my husband's like, do you want to go socialize? And I was like, no, I want to just sit here alone and have alone time. And he kind of looks at me sideways and I was like, no, seriously, I just want to sit here by myself. So he went and talked to some of his friends that were playing music and I just kind of sat there and it was like maybe looked awkward because I'm just sitting there, but I was like in heaven having this moment to myself.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I totally get that. Just having that time to have your own company, which is so rare. And I mean, we haven't even touched on, you know, how having a new baby affects your relationship with your husband or your partner. And I mean, that's a huge one. And I know for me, like, you're just getting like all day surrounded by your baby or your kids, you know, and you just want your you time. So I know, like, when my husband who works away, when he comes home, I just kind of like hand the kid off and walk away. I'm not really interested in having now time with him because I've already given up so much of myself to my kids. I don't really have that much more to give.
Yeah. And I think that's something that is so hard to understand for husbands, but or spouses, or even just yourself, is why am I suddenly not interested in my spouse? I don't have time to talk to them. I don't want them to touch me. I mean, if you have children, you know what it means to be touched out. And it's really hard to explain that. And it's hard for them to understand it too. You're not ignoring them. You don't not love them. You're just so stacked with other people's needs that one more person that walks in the door who's an adult, your husband or your spouse, and you know full well they can take care of themselves. You almost have no patience when they ask for something of you.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
my husband will ask me for the simplest thing or he'll try to give me a hug and I'm like, get off of me. I mean, not all the time. Not now as much especially, but I remember just being like, don't touch me. I've been touched all day. I just need to be by myself. And he'd be like, why don't you just go have a bath or something?
Yeah, I know. It's a hard time to kind of, yeah, like you said, figure out why am I being like this? But in retrospect, we can look back and think, yeah, like there was a lot all day. And yeah, we had nothing left in the tank for anyone else. So
yeah. Okay. So I think it's important. We've discussed like why it happens, how we feel when it happens. Let's get to the more positive stuff. How can you find yourself again? Still be a mom, still take care of your kids, still be completely touched out. There's got to be things we can kind of fit into our day to give us a little bit of an escape or a little bit of me time, or just let you feel like your own person, that your first name isn't mom.
Yeah. When I kind of started coming around to finding my identity again, one thing I really loved, and it was something that I could do at home, was I loved to craft. I love crafting. It's one of my hobbies. And that was kind of my time where I could still be at home, but I could produce something myself, whatever I wanted. And yeah, that was a huge one when my babies were little and I was kind of stuck at home a lot. I mean, before we even get into like kind of getting into sports and getting back to the gym, I was doing crafts at home.
Right. So finding a hobby, anything little or big that has zero to do with kids, right? And so you were crafting. I remember you did all kinds of like photo collages and you were doing all your macrame.
I did like needle felting and there was all sorts of crafting.
Oh yeah, that's
happening.
Right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Right. So finding a little hobby that you can kind of do in the quiet times. There's lots of times my kids want to sit and color and there's no reason I can't sit there and maybe paint with them or do something like that. So finding a hobby for me, I don't know if you know this, but my hobby was starting my YouTube channel. I started it just kind of as a fun little experiment. I just felt like I wanted to write or talk about something, and it's turned into a whole thing, but it definitely has been my outlet to the adult world. My kids have nothing to do with my YouTube channel. I don't even show them on it. I don't share their names, their ages, nothing. It's just me and the outside world.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that was really important for you because you are a really driven person and you need that kind of personal growth in your life. And so I think all of us as a family were really happy to see you doing something with that because I think it would be hard for you. And I mean, I feel the same to just be at home day after day without kind of having that like personal outlet.
Yeah, definitely. So some other hobbies that we came up with that you could take up are rejoining sports teams if you can, going to the gym, or even doing online workouts at home. You could do writing in a journal just for yourself, or even writing stories or just anything without really even the idea that it's going to go anywhere. Just getting your thoughts out on paper. Another thing I did, and I know you did as well, is I joined a book club. There was a group of girls that I knew. They already had a book club going, and I just said, hey, can I join? I just want to get out of the house and I'd like to read some different books. So we do that once a month, and that's like extremely fulfilling for me, especially even during pandemic, we kept it going on Zoom, and it was like one of the only really social things I was doing then.
Yeah, I actually started a book club.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and so there's seven of us in it, and I agree. It's really nice to kind of have that monthly time when we get together, and sometimes it's funny because...
I like when you said monthly time.
I know. It's a fun monthly time, I'll add, yeah.
Yeah.
But my friends and I have now come up with this, like, theory that if we call something a club, it means you have to get together regularly. So we have our book club, and we have our dinner club, and we have our golf club. And so I'm like, yeah, because if I put it on my calendar and say, well, I've got dinner club, it sounds more like I have to get there than if I just
said...
Yeah,
it's more of a commitment.
It is a commitment than, like, going for dinner. Yeah. And I think even, like, it works with my husband. Like, he doesn't even question. Like, oh, that's your dinner club. Like, you have to go. Yes. It's your club. Yes. And I'm like, I mean, it's really just four of us going
nothing,
for dinner.
Nothing a man would respect more than a club, right?
Exactly. So we formed all these clubs.
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that because I've had that same thing happen with my group of friends. We've talked about how it's so much easier to have something that's a committed time, you're regularly scheduled, rather than trying to make plans with people and trying to find times that work. So one of my friends actually recently started Adventure Club. And so on Tuesday morning, we go and do something, and she has a whole list of things that people have suggested. So maybe it's going to a new playground, or we're going to go to a pool at a different town in a couple weeks here. And she called it a Tuesday Morning Adventure Club.
Oh, I love that.
And hilariously, a different group of friends has suggested doing Tuesday Night Adventure Club, which is just
Tuesday's very adventurous for you.
I know, which is just moms going out and doing something outside and adventurous. And this is actually my curling team, because the curling season ended and they were like, I want to keep hanging out, so let's start Tuesday Night Adventure Club. So yeah, it was really funny that two completely separate groups of friends suggested Adventure Club for Tuesdays. But I mean, it's brilliant, it's genius. Like you said, you're committed, and if you can't go, no big deal, but you know it's gonna just keep happening.
Yeah, well, and I think we need to give credit also to social media and Facebook and things like that, because I know there's a lot of communities online for new moms and for finding kind of a new community of people that's there for support. And, you know, people even will just say, hey, I'm new to the city. I live in this area. I've got a kid this age, who wants to meet up? And it's amazing to see how many people are like, yep, I've got a lot in common with that. Let's meet up at this park. I live really close to you. And I mean, that would have been impossible 25 years ago. So I feel lucky that I had that, because I definitely utilize that. I mean, there's a club in Calgary that's just for like outdoorsy moms. And some of the things they do are with kids and some of them are without kids. But it's just for women who like getting out and enjoying the outdoors and, you know, are probably all struggling with the same, like, I can't do it like I used to. So let's do it differently and together.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So get a hobby, find a group of friends, make a commitment to do something, you know, put it out there on social media. I'm looking for someone to hang out with. We're going to be at the park. My kids are this age and this age. It's so much easier and so much less scary than you think, because trust me, everyone feels the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So how to find yourself again? What's our next thing? Having you time, having me time, finding time away from our kids, away from our life, where we can just recharge. We love our kids, but it is so much easier to love them after you get a little bit of me time.
Yeah. And I mean, we were so desperate as to waking up at 5 a.m. this past week to get a little me time. But I think for me, going back to work was that switch from feeling like so much kid time to actually wanting to hang out with my kids. I mean, different from you when you're a stay-at-home mom, when I get home from work, I'm so excited to see my kids and spend some time with them. Whereas at the end of my mat leave, I was just kind of like, what activity can I give my kids to do so that I can get away for like 5 minutes and do something by myself?
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's interesting. We just talked about scheduling things in. Work is something that's scheduled in. You can't miss it. You're committed to it. Oh, you can probably hear my kids. But when you are a stay-at-home mom, you do have to schedule it in. You do have to make that time for myself. Now, my husband's really good about covering for me. I don't want to say covering for me as if it's my job 24/7, but he will just take the reins and say, yeah, you go do this, or if you need that, you can do that, or I'll just say, I need to go do this, or I need to go for a walk by myself. So if you have a supportive spouse that can step in and let you just walk away, that's huge. If you have kids though all day and you need time in the middle of the day, one thing I found really helpful is the television. I'm not even gonna lie. If I need me time, I literally plonk my kids in front of the TV. We can have quiet time or they'll be reading and I can kind of pull away sometimes. But if I'm desperate and they're going crazy, I have no shame in using the television to get a little bit of me time.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know who's babysitting my kids right now, and it's not a human.
So another thing that you can do that's me time is just self-care. This is something you can fit into every single day. Literally even getting dressed in clothing and not PJs and taking the time to clean up yourself, wash your face, brush your hair is going to make a huge difference in your life. And I mean, I preach this hard.
Yeah, I think that you kind of encouraging people to get up, get dressed, get some, you know, makeup on if that's your thing, and getting your hair brushed is so important. And it just sets the tone for the day. And I agree. I feel so much better when I've taken care of myself. And trust me, I have had some times where I have not, and even our mom has pulled me aside and just said like, hey, you might need to spend a little bit more time on yourself. And it's like, oh man. No. So I agree. I mean, it's not something fancy. Like, we don't mean self-care as in, like, you know, getting your nails done or getting, you know, facials. It's as basic as just, like, cleaning yourself up, giving yourself that kind of respect you deserve to, like, be presentable.
Yeah, and I think respecting yourself in that way and having good hygiene is also setting a good example for your children. So if you want to pass it off as good as a parenting thing you need to do, do that. But trust me, it will be so much better. And I mean, one thing that we talked about last week was getting up early and having a little bit of time to yourself. So getting up, I mean, not at 5 a.m., but maybe 15 minutes early and just having a minute to take a breath and starting the coffee maker and maybe just reading a book or just anything you can do in those quiet moments. I know a lot of us try to pack it in after the kids go to bed and have 2 or 3 hours then, but my advice is just go to sleep, get the sleep, be a better human, get up a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few friends who have new babies and they all just say, like, whenever they have those days where they get up for their babies, they just say, oh, I had such a great morning. I had a shower. I had a coffee. And, you know, those simple things that before having kids you didn't even think of become so novel and so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Another way you can find your way back into the adult world is find, like we talked about already, mom friends. Find some new friends that really have something in common with you. As much as you might love your old friends and you can still make time for them, they're not interested, and not everybody is interested in talking about your kids all the time. You know, what their nap schedule is, what they're currently eating and not eating, and your latest barfing saga. But other moms are. Reach out and make new connections with other people who will have so much in common with you right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you can have those moments with people where you can kind of talk about whatever you need to talk about and there's no judgment. And I mean, also, I know with my mom friends, if someone's running late or if I'm running late, they're gonna get it. And I feel so much less pressure about that kind of stuff when I'm with them because they know kind of, you know, everything that could go wrong is probably going wrong.
I can bail on my mom friends and they can bail on me last minute and nobody's feelings get hurt. Another way you can find your way back into the adult world without having to make plans with anyone or even leave your house is consume non-parenting media. You know, if you're cleaning the house, listen to your podcast, read magazines about decor, read books. I mean, my book club was huge for that. I got into reading books instead of just scrolling the internet all day. Listen to your music. Get your kids to listen to your music. My kids love ABBA and other 90s hits.
The Beatles apparently is like really good for kids because they really enunciate their words.
Oh, yeah. See, and like you don't have to listen to kids' music that makes you crazy all day. Although I don't mind listening to Encanto on repeat. Some people might.
Yeah, that's an exception. And I'm sure in a few months we'll be like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Bruno.
And like even the kids shows, we've recently found that my kids really like watching kids baking and kids cooking championship shows, which is not like my favorite thing, but I love it so much more. So we can actually sit down and watch something together. So we're really just trying to find stuff that works for all of us rather than, you know, kids shows and adult shows and kids music and adult music. We just find stuff that is kind of a common ground for us. And that makes a big difference for me.
Absolutely.
I never want to watch Cocomelon again.
I know. It's the baby bum bum for me. Like when I was pregnant with my second and I was so nauseous, I look back and it gives me like associated nausea now when I hear the music, because my daughter was watching that while I was pregnant and I actually feel sick when I hear it, because I was like, that was the time when she was really into it. So that does not come on anymore. But
yeah.
Anyways, I think it's important that we kind of cover this stuff and just say, you know, to people, you're not alone. We've been
there. Normal.
Lots of people have been there feeling like, who am I? Where are my friends? I can't go out. So what do I do?
I have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of how to find your way back. And no, it will never be the same. And it won't be. But you find a new normal.
I totally agree. I'm so glad we talked about this. This was a huge struggle for me. And I'm always glad when people share their same struggle. But I'm always sad to hear that it's so confusing and doesn't feel normal to people. Because we really need to normalize this feeling and let people know, like, this is okay. It's normal. You want to talk to me about your kids for an hour? Great. Lay it on me. I'd love to listen. Because we just need to talk. You know, it does get better when your kids get older. Even when I had my last baby, I had a 4-year-old and she would say, "Whoa, that's a huge poop, Mom, in that diaper." As opposed to when I just had her and I'd be like, anybody see this huge poop? No? So I kind of had a bit of a friend along for the ride for that last one, which really made a difference.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. So wrapping up, Steph, let's get into the funny story. We've been doing this every week. If you're new with us, it's a funny story. We take turns and it's Steph's turn this week.
It's my turn this week. And it's just a way for us to end the show with a little bit of a laugh. And we just pull a funny or embarrassing story from our past. And this one involves both of us. And it's from a long time ago. I was in 12th grade and you were coming to visit us. You lived in a different town. You were coming to visit that day. I was in 12th grade and that day I skipped school and I came home and I was just at home, lounging around, doing nothing, not being at school. I think my grades were high enough. I didn't have to worry about it. I was starting to check out completely. And I didn't want to go to class. The thing that happens, though, when you didn't go to class at our school is there was an automatic message that phoned your house and left a message on the answering machine that you had been missing that day. My mom would obviously bust me. So when I was home and the phone rang and a caller ID was my school, I answered it just so I could hang it back up, right? And kind of delete the automatic message. Anyways, I answered the phone because it was from the school, but guess who else was calling from the school?
Well, our mom was a teacher, so I'm assuming her.
It was our mom phoning from the school. And like, there would be no reason in my mind for her to be phoning. So obviously I picked the phone up. I picked it up, said, "Hello." And she goes, "Jill?" Because we sounded a lot alike. "Jill?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's Jill." And pretended to be you so I wouldn't get busted. And she goes, "Hey, Jill, you were coming to visit that day. You hadn't arrived yet." So she thought you had already arrived. "Hi, Jill, can you take the chicken out of the fridge and put it in the microwave to thaw for half an hour?" She gave me the instructions. "And when that's done, put it in the oven at this temperature, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Yeah, sounds good. I'll totally do it. Okay, see you soon. Love you. Bye." I totally fooled her, and I thought I was just, you know, so smart getting away with this. You know this story.
Yeah.
I thought I was so smart getting away with it. So I went and took the chicken, put it in the microwave, and then set the timer, blah, blah, blah. But I forgot to put it in the oven. I left, I went back to school, never thought about it again. Meanwhile, you come to the house, you didn't realize the chicken was in the microwave, you had no idea it needed to be the oven, you knew nothing. You were completely uninformed of my dishonesty. And when I come home from school, my mom had already come home. You were there, and mom was so mad because I was so busted.
Because I had no idea what was going on with the chicken. And she's like, "Why didn't you put the chicken in?"
So then I go back to school. Meanwhile, you come to the house. When mom comes home from work, and you might tell this better than me, when mom comes home from work, she looks at you and says, "How come you didn't put the chicken in the oven?" And you go, "What? What are you talking about?" And according to you, you said, "Mom instantly like flew into a rage because she knew exactly what had happened. She knew I had deceived her, pretended to be you." Because you're like, "What chicken? What are you talking about?" She goes and looks in the fridge. It's not in there. She looks in the microwave and there it is, but it's not in the oven. She got so mad. Should we say what she did?
Yes. That's the best part.
She got so mad. She took the chicken out of the microwave and threw it across the kitchen, and it landed in the sink, which was full of dirty dishes.
And dish soap. It was like this huge chicken splash. Like, and like in that house, the microwave was like literally across the room. Like, it was like catapulted across the room. And I'm still standing there like, what did I do?
Yeah, you're like, what's going on here? But she knew. She knew what I had done. I was in so much trouble. Anyways, and then she, I guess, like, gets mad. And yeah, I come home from school shortly after, and you're like, Stephanie, oh my goodness. And I'm like, oh no, the chicken. Mom is just furious with me.
Oh, I got
so busted. And this, my dad, meanwhile, had taken the chicken out of the sink and like washed it off and put it in the oven. But he's a vegetarian. He has like no idea what he's doing. And I think it was just like on a piece of tin foil in the oven.
No, he put it on a, I remember exactly. He put it on a cookie sheet and then put like another cookie sheet on top of it. So it was like sandwiched between two cookie sheets. Like he's never made a chicken in his life probably. And then like put that in the oven. It was just like, ah, this is awkward. Like they're divorced at this point, so he's just trying to like make things less awkward and better.
Anyways, it was not funny. I was in so much trouble for getting, for being so naughty, and I just
And you know what?
I feel bad.
It's funny because when we have teenagers, we're going to look back and be like, yeah, that makes sense that you, you know, tossed the poultry like 12 feet across the room with anger. I mean, we're yet to experience the teenage years, and I'm sure that will be something else that's fun to discover.
Oh, our poor mom. She's such a good mom to us. And yeah, she definitely didn't deserve that.
No. And I mean, yeah, you were a pretty good student. I would hate to see her have, I mean, our dad raised me, and he got plenty of phone calls from the high school. Oh, but all right, Steph, that's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. It's always funny to, you know, laugh about our funny family stories. There is plenty of them.
Yeah. We have lots to come. Don't worry. There's no shortage of ridiculousness with us. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please make sure to add it to your subscription list and leave a comment if you'd like with any suggestions or just what you thought of this podcast episode. We will talk to you very soon. We're trying to come out with a new episode every single week.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, everyone. And we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.